Natalia Stepaniuk is a Ukrainian PhD candidate at the University of Ottawa's Political Science Department. She's speaking with me today from Ottawa. Hello, Natalia.
Hello.
After months of ongoing protest, the Maidan, the central square in the heart of Kiev, has been the scene of intense violence this week. How did it come to this?
Well, it all started back in November as a peaceful protest to oppose the decision of the government to turn away from Europe, not to sign an association agreement. So people back then, it was mainly students gathered in the center of Kiev on Independence Square to protest that decision, because for them, you know, along with some economic benefits, it had a very high symbolic importance. It would signify embracing European values, democracy, the rule of law, something that is missing in Ukraine right now.
The opposition began with a student movement, and now it's come to include a really wide representation of Ukrainian society, right? Like Afghan war veterans, LGBT activists, and also Jewish groups, and even hard right-wing organizations. So how did this diverse opposition come together, in your view?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The movement has evolved, because at the end of November, the government used brutal force in attempt to disperse protesters, and it also followed by severe beatings of activists, attacks on journalists, numerous abductions of leaders. These horrific actions created a very huge outrage among Ukrainians, and different groups, all these groups that you've just mentioned, joined the protesters, and it changed the nature of the protest itself. Because when I was in Kyiv in mid-December, people were protesting against the system, against their corrupt regime that acts, that uses criminal means to oppress its people, basically. So the protesters changed their demands. Right now, it's not that much about Europe anymore. They just want to see Yanukovych leave, and they want to see the political system in Ukraine changed and purified from corruption.
Right. So who is President Viktor Yanukovych? How did he come to power? What's the background there?
Well, he came to power in 2010. In what was considered back then as a relatively fair elections by the international community, and he had a very tight rivalry with Yulia Tymoshenko, who used to be our ex prime minister and who is in jail right now. And after that, he dismantled a lot of democratic institutions in Ukraine. He changed the constitutional order to strengthen his presidential power and to disable the opposition to resist his decisions. Since 2010, Ukraine has been seeing a lot of injustice because of his presidency.
The extremely close ties with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Yanukovych is often portrayed as kind of like a yes man. What can you tell us about their relationship?
Well, definitely the relationship between Yanukovych and Putin are very close. Yanukovych acts under Putin's order. You know, Russia, Putin has a very specific vision of Ukraine and its orientation. He wants to see Ukraine joining the Eurasian Union. It's a union that is supposed to be a rivalry to the European Union. And the current crisis in Ukraine in part began because of Russian foreign policy towards Ukraine. Just days before Yanukovych was supposed to sign the free association agreement with the EU, he had a meeting with Putin, who intervened offering cash and low gas prices to Yanukovych, who then abruptly changed his course away from Europe towards Russia. So definitely Russia plays a very huge role in this situation in Ukraine.
The president's behavior is so thuggish, so despotic. How does the regime consider its behavior to be rational or supportable? Is there a large portion of Ukrainian society which supports the government?
Well, you know, the government has been has organized a very wide propaganda campaign to justify violence being used against the protesters. So a lot of protesters have been portrayed as terrorists, as nationalists who don't represent Ukrainians, and in a way, it just like on the side of the government, it justified using violent means to crack down on the protesters. But of course, that's just a distorted version of it.
The west of the country is largely pro-opposition, and the east bordering Russia is largely pro-government. Has the protest spread outside of Kiev?
Yes, right now, well, as you mentioned, mobilization in Western Ukraine is much higher, and that's historically it's been the case. I wouldn't agree to the fact that the East is pro-government. It's true that back in 2010, Yanukovych won mostly because of his support in East, where he comes from. But right now, a lot of people don't support him anymore because he lost his legitimacy because of all the corruption that undermined Ukraine in general. When I was on Maidan in December and January, I met a lot of young people from Eastern Ukraine as well. It's true that the percentage is lower compared to Western Ukraine, but a lot of young people, I think the fabric is changing, so a lot of people from Eastern Ukraine become more and more supportive of Europe as well.
Today, a kind of ceasefire agreement was signed between the opposition and government representatives. Do you know what the agreement includes?
Well, that agreement, I believe it was signed yesterday. It includes, a few important points, I think, to diffuse the situation in Ukraine and make it more peaceful. So all the interior ministry troops that are currently in Kiev are ordered to return back to their normal locations, to their barracks. And then today, the parliament also voted in favor of reverting back to the 2004 constitution that would limit presidential power and empower the parliament. So it's another important decision voted for in the parliament.
Okay, today there was when the agreement was being signed in that meeting, a tense exchange was recorded when Polish Foreign Minister Radoslaw Sikorski basically told opposition representatives that if they rejected the peace deal, the next escalation would be a military takeover of the square by the army, and he implied that everyone would be killed there. If the agreement falls through, and with thousands of protesters still manning those barricades in Maidan Square, where do you see things going moving forward?
Well, it's difficult. It's very difficult to make any predictions at this point. The situation can go either way. For now, all we know is that Yanukovych showed willingness to use violence to silence the protesters. The agreement falls through, then yes, there might be more violence, and that's very scary because people are very distrustful towards Yanukovych right now. Even these steps that have been taken in the parliament today, people don't see it as a big achievement. You know, they want to see Yanukovych leave, and it seems like Yanukovych is willing to do a lot to stay in power.
Do you have friends and family in Maidan Square right now?
Yeah, most of my close friends are in Kiev and are actually on Maidan.
Is it hard to be catching the news over here in Canada?
Well, it's very hard to be away from Ukraine and from close people when horrible things like that are happening. And I'm very worried about the security of my friends. I'm trying to keep in touch with them all the time. I'm either on Skype or on the phone, and I try to get on the ground reporting from the people I know. But it's difficult.
Natalia, is this, in your view, turning into a civil war?
Well, I don't think it will. You can call it a civil war, because a civil war would mean that there is a very that there are very strong regional divisions, and it's a conflict between different groups in society. I think a more accurate way to describe what's going on in Ukraine, it's a war of the government against its people. You know, it's a war of Yanukovych against its people.
Natalia Stepaniuk, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.